This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. I graduated 10 years ago. When did you graduate?
2015. I graduated 2018.
So you graduated...
Oh, Amber, don't make us do math.
Yeah, because like 2015, we're in 2020, so you graduated 5 years ago. No, we're in 2023, so you graduated 8 years ago.
Yes.
And you graduated...
Five years ago. Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe it's been 10 years. So we were talking about like our different hygiene school experiences.
Because Amber and I went to the same school.
We went to the same school.
Different years.
But my mind is so fuzzy. And Amy like knew everything. She remembered everything from school.
It's because for her, it's only been 5 years. Yes.
Which makes me even more appreciative to do this episode because I feel like it's like a time capsule now. I get to like, if I ever want to remember what clinic was like.
Speaking of time capsules, when I was in hygiene school, we moved from one dental school to another dental school. Same school, but we changed buildings, like to a brand new building. And so they did a time capsule from like stuff from the old building, and the students all could put something into the time capsule.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I remember I was just like, okay, I'm going to put something in. And I just like scribbled something like crazy. I was just like, I'm in op, whatever, like cubicle, whatever in the clinic room. I'm dating Lo and Wen. I'm a second year hygienist. I don't even know what I wrote. And I probably had like my parents' old address and stuff. So it'd be interesting. I don't remember like all the things, but I thought that was like a cool thing we did in hygiene school.
That is cool. Yeah. I got the new school, so I didn't get to do the time capsule thing. But Amy, yeah, you're now not considered like a new grad. Well, I just say that because like every time there's like new grad applications or awards, it's always like under 5 years.
And I think to be an educator, I think you have to be 5 years at least. Or a lot of the schools are like, that's their five. Oh, other side note is, did you know that CODA is now requiring a bachelor's degree to teach a dental hygiene school, even if it's clinical? So before, you just needed to have a degree higher. But if you taught clinical, so I taught in a bachelor's program and I only had a bachelor's, it was okay. And so same thing for an associate's program. If you had an associate's, but you were teaching like clinical, you were an adjunct, it was okay if you only had an associate's. Mm-hmm. And not just only, but if you had an associate's. But now it's a minimum requirement of a bachelor's, even if you're teaching clinical.
Interesting.
Part-time. Yeah. Okay. Back to you, Amy.
So we're going to time capsule this, right? Amy.
Yes.
And talk about our different experience, different rotations we had in school. Because now, like, I work in pedo. Amber does public health. You work in general. It's like we're sort of in our own little worlds. But in hygiene school, we had a full spectrum of experiences.
And I don't think when I was going into hygiene school, I don't think I knew that. I think you obviously know you're going to see patients. I never really put thought into how I was going to come into contact with those patients.
I think what's interesting that you told us is that you didn't have your own clinic.
We didn't. So my school was a community college. Uh-huh. We partnered with UConn, who has a school of dentistry program, but we actually didn't go because the dental students would use their operatory. So we never saw the dental students at all. We were put with the ortho residents. So we would see our patients. So we had to find our own patients. Yes. Yeah. Just like every other program, but we would do that at the ortho clinic at UConn. After the ortho residents had left for the day, we would use a clinic at night.
Interesting.
To see like our friends and family. And that's when we would see, like, that was our home clinic.
Yeah.
But it was limited because we were using it on the off hours from the ortho residents.
Yeah. So not the same thing, but when Hurricane Harvey happened here, and Lone Star College, I don't know if you heard about this, you weren't around that time.
No.
We had a big hurricane where a huge part of Houston flooded. One of the dental hygiene schools flooded, like loops, instruments, everything gone. And like faculty's diplomas, like everything. So they were trying to find a solution for these students because it was in September. So this hygiene school was already going on. And one of the like initial thoughts was that they would come and be at UT. Where I was teaching.
And that's a far commute.
It's a far commute for them. They ended up doing like portable clinics. But yeah, same concept where they would like borrow our chairs. They wouldn't be part of our school at all. So wouldn't be included like in our like rotations. But they would be using like the chairs or like the clinics. And yeah, that's interesting. Did you still feel part of the school? Of the UConn school?
No, because it wasn't on UConn's campus. It was like UConn's medical hospital.
Oh, okay.
So it was just like the ortho clinic was there and it was like a portion of the the hospital.
How far was the commute from like your actual hygiene school campus to the hospital?
Probably 15 minutes.
Well, that's not bad.
It was close. Well, in Connecticut, it's like, it's like and there's not much traffic. So it was probably, you know, it was the same. Or maybe I think it was the next town over. But yeah, it was like 15 minute drive.
And y'all had rotations, I imagine.
Yeah, so we had to supplement because we were only allowed, I think basically everyone had two nights where you were, so first semester we practiced on each other. For that, we had one dental room at our community college. So we did have, I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it was 5 chairs.
In your actual school.
And 3, yes, and then 3 like radiography rooms.
Okay.
4.
So you could take radiographs in your school?
Yes, but that was only, so when we were working on each other for that first semester, we would have clinic rotations just amongst ourselves at like on our campus, but we never could see outpatients. I don't know if it was like a liability insurance reasons.
What software did y'all use?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Oh, okay.
No, what's the one? Axiom?
We use Axiom.
Yeah, that's what we use.
Oh, okay.
First semester, I mean, it was really, that's when we were just introducing instruments to each other. You know, it wasn't much of anything. It was just patient.
I just wondered if there was like a system because well, with Axiom, you can access your charts off campus.
Oh, yeah.
Did y'all do that? Oh, we did that.
I can't remember. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah. You can access your charts from home. So that way you could like treatment plan or not treatment plan, but like plan your appointments or audit your charts at home.
Oh, I don't think did that.
Oh, okay. We did that. I did that a lot.
Well, I remember when like in your first year, when you started doing rotations, a lot of the rotations were like observations or you assisted the dental student. So I remember like dental students at first, they were like, no, you don't have to do anything. Like when I would get there and then I'll be like, okay, yeah. I'm like, whatever. So I'll just sit there. But then once they caught wind that I was a dental assistant and I had dental assisting skills, then they like put me to work. Then, yeah. And then they would even like come over and I wasn't even assigned with them. And they're like, oh, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? And I'm like, dang it. But I had a perio rotation once, and not a perio where like we treated patients, but we got to go and watch them do procedures. And dental students were assisting. The hygienist was just observing. The hygiene student was just observing. And then the periodontist was doing the actual work. And so the periodontist, while the dental student is assisting, was telling a story how like, oh yeah, you know, then they were doing a graft. And so they're excising the tissue. And they're like, you know, one thing you want to always be careful is not to suck up the tissue in the HVE.
Oh no.
And then what does this dental student almost do as soon as it was like, it was going up, like it was so close to going in. And I was like, they just said not to do that. And I bet the dental student was embarrassed, but then like they stopped and we switched because they're like, no, we're not risking that. Yeah. But I was like, can you imagine like they just told you the story and then, or even in general, if you're like in practice and you suck up the tissue that they just excise, like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh,
I have like phantom pain or not really, but you know how like if I see they're cutting the tissue, I'm like, oh, like I'm feeling it in like in my tissue. But that was fun because you got to see something.
Did y'all have any like perio rotations or perio type?
No, we had something towards the end. I think it was final semester. They asked us to pick a specialty and to go shadow them for a day. And I picked perio just because I feel of all the specialties, that's the one that's like hand in hand with ours the most. Yeah. You know, it's like basically the next step of what we do. You know, I chose to do that one and the dude was crazy.
It's funny. I chose running all over. Do like a general practice one and I didn't end up in a general practice.
What was your favorite rotation you had?
There was like different ones for different reasons. So we went to prisons.
That's cool.
A couple. Yeah. And I was so intimidated in the beginning. And then even when I was there, because I mean, obviously it's an actual prison, you know, and I've never, you know,
been in one.
I mean, this might shock some people, but I've never been in prison. So, I know. So I've never gone to one. I've never. So even driving into the parking lot was intimidating. Walking into the building was intimidating. And then, you know, you go, they had to audit all of our instruments that we were bringing in. So they had to count like everything. Then we had to drop off our licenses. You go into a room, that room locks behind you. And that's something I think of this now in terms of ever working in a prison. it takes 20 minutes just to get into the building, you know, because there's so much security measures. You walk into a room, the door shuts behind you before the one in front of you can open. When it does open, you're in another cage. Someone has to come unlock that just to make sure, in case there was an inmate that was free in the hallway, you're locked in a cage, you know. So once that's cleared, then you move on, you get to the clinic. It's government funded, so there was no electronic charting. Everything mm-hmm. was on paper charts. You have to go down to the medical records room, grab the patients that you want to see for the day. I think we'd average maybe 3 patients a day just because the process of getting the inmate transported to the clinic room was such a long process.
Did you go by yourself, or was it like 2 students would go on the rotation?
2 students.
Okay.
And a faculty rotation. Or a faculty?
Well, there was, so that was the cool thing. We would shadow whoever the public health hygienist was.
That's how we did it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that because you got to hear from her, like how her experience was, like what she felt. Those patients were the best patients because they were so grateful, because it was eye opening for me because they told me, one guy came in and, you know, he was like, well, how does everything look? Is it okay? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, the minute I got incarcerated, he's like, that was the one thing I freaked out about was my teeth. Cause I was always really good with going every 6 months. And I knew in here, I wouldn't be able to get that. He said, from the day I got here, I signed up for a dental cleaning on day one. He goes, because it goes, they sign up for whoever wants it. They put their name on a list and then it goes in order. They just give care down the list. But For some patients, it takes up to 3 years
wow.
before they can get seen.
One of my really good friends, Maxine, who I wrote my book with, she worked in a prison here in Houston.
Yeah.
She loved it. She said it was amazing. The process of getting in to be an employee there was a really long time. And one of the interesting things that they do is they check your credit score.
Yeah?
Yeah. And if your credit score like can go down, because it's a federal job, you could be fired for that. I feel like I like that idea. It's interesting. And she said the patients obviously were really good because it's a privilege to get dental care. Yeah. And so they wouldn't get in trouble or act out because they like want to get care. But they take their phones away. Like, you're not allowed in with your phones.
Right. Like, that was the other thing, yes.
If I could do a whole thing without my phone.
They took their phone. Or just the...
Or like, email, man.
Or the environment. Because I know for me, there's no windows. There's mm-hmm. no color. There's no, everything was just gray and dark and fluorescent lighting.
She did tell me she loved all the systems in place. So they had great like systems for like infection control and just like everything. There was just like lots of order. What was your favorite rotation?
The VA.
Same.
So the veterans. Yeah. Even though, I'm in pedo now, right? Completely opposite. It was my favorite because I felt like the patients, they lived a life. They were such characters. But I think what also made it, how you said the person basically working there, the hygienist working there was your lead. They were great hygienists that were at the VA.
Shout out to Nancy.
Yeah, shout out to Nancy. And I think, oh my gosh, I feel bad. Only because we still know Nancy now. But I think the other one was like
Teresa.
I can't
remember the other
hygienist's name. I'm not sure. But they were both really great. They were both very caring and teaching us and giving us a lot of grace. And
so smart, because our patients were like super medically complex patients.
Yes.
Because with veterans, in order for them to get like care, veterans, you have to be almost 100% disabled, I think, in order to get to qualify for dental. Like they're percentage wise of like how disabled you are. And the more disabled you are, then the more things you qualify for. And so they were pretty, you had to be pretty complex to qualify. And they were like, look at that. Yeah, you know, 20 medications. Yep, that looks good. That's fine. I'm like,
yeah, I know. And then you'll get the patient and like, you'll be like, oh, you have an hour, but they have 4 teeth. I'm like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah.
There was one patient where it was like, I know it's not good for them to have, but it was cool because I haven't seen it before, but it was like an over-erupted molar. And then they had like a hole straight through their molar. Of course, you know, there's reasons why, and that's not good for them to have, but it was just like, that's not something you would typically see, you know? So I really enjoyed the patients there. And I learned some tricks too, you know, like things that we brought back to clinic and even that I use now and some of the materials we use that help in clinic. Like I really learned a lot there.
I thought you were going to say your favorite clinic was Fort Bend Clinic, because that's where you met me.
Oh, and then my friend worked there too. Shout out to Tatiana. Oh man. No, we didn't have that rotation though.
Oh, you didn't have that
rotation? No, we didn't have that rotation. I went to observe you there.
Yes. Yeah. But so we had county clinics. So those were great because they were in different parts of the city. So we had like the Greens Point Clinic, which is North Houston. Then we had Fort Bend, which is like Southwest Houston. And then we had like Pasadena Clinic, which was Southeast Houston. If you know anything about Houston, that's like an hour plus commute in each direction.
It's like a different state.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
It's like New England. Yeah. Like you went from Vermont to Connecticut.
So cool because each one was like a little bit different. Like some saw like a mix of people, some saw just children, but the drives were pretty crazy.
So you might know the more inside information. So I'm hearing you guys talk about it too. I know for us that we were told years before us, they went to an HIV clinic.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't get that rotation. I think they had gone to VA hospitals as well. We didn't get that rotation. What deciphers what year? Do schools have to apply?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, as an educator and then somebody who has worked in public health, what is hard sometimes is, so for like the VA was the amount of paperwork. The VA just got tired of doing the paperwork for the students. And so the manpower that they took to get the students approved. And so that's where they stopped. Nonprofits where we're at. What sometimes is tough is the school will want to send a bunch of kit students. And then we also, the thing is, it depends on the practice because some will be like, oh, I'm still expecting to see my patient load now plus your patient load, and I have to check your patient.
That's a lot.
And if I have two of you, so it's all of my patients plus all of yours and help you check out, it ends up being like a lot.
So they would add the student's workload on additional to the public health hygienist's mm-hmm. own workload? Because mm-hmm. when we would go on rotations,
or the dentist, yeah.
the hygienist would just oversee us.
Yeah, so it depends.
Wow.
And then, then it has to at least be even. So what is the benefit of me having these students here? If me having these two students here, is that going to allow us to see more patients, or are we seeing less patients because you're slower? And then to make up for those less patients, and then I also having to see my own patients. And so then is that just too much work for me? Is it just make more sense to just see my normal 8 patients instead of you seeing 3, the other one seeing 3, and me seeing 2? And then, you know, it becomes a whole thing. So
interesting.
Part of that is, and I've heard the same thing from doctors who feel like the liability is increased because now I have this student and the liability of this student. It's just like an additional duty for those of us who are working and seeing our patients. Sometimes that can be tough. There's also the cost of having 3 providers. So we're seeing the same amount of patients. Maybe in between the 3 of us, we'll see 8 patients, right? The 2 students and me. But we're using like more gloves, right? Because each of us is going to help each other clean, right? We're using more gowns, more masks. There is more supplies. And so when I was a director of a nonprofit, I started having students asking the school, I was like, okay, for each student that comes, I need a box of gloves for those students.
That's a lot to consider.
It is a lot to consider.
Yeah. I'm almost like really grateful now that I had the VA rotation. Yeah. And that I'm sure the hygienist had to do
sometimes it is beneficial. Like when we're doing like school events and you need like those additional hands, that's nice. But sometimes it's like, okay, now I got to find something for you to do. It's like one more thing for me. I know we had like assistant students, and I don't know, I was taught in schools that you always assume that gloves are dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the assistant walking around and coming to my being like with their gloves from another op, and they're like looking through doors trying to find something. And I'm like, did you just like contaminate my room? You know, I just like, these are the things that, you know, you wouldn't have to like worry about. Maybe I shouldn't care about those things. But we had like students who like didn't know how to work our certain equipment because the equipment that they're used to at school is different than ours. And then the equipment breaks and
it comes it comes down to time and money.
Yeah.
A lot of it. It is time and money.
And especially, I mean, with nonprofits, we're trying to see as many patients, help as many patients, but we're also tight on funds.
It's interesting too, Angela, you say that the hygienist that you worked with at the VA hospital is what really made you enjoy that rotation. I had a similar experience. We had some place called CVH. It was Connecticut Valley Hospital. And we saw 3 different kinds of patients. There were psychiatric patients. There was substance abuse. And there was Whiting forensics, which are patients who claimed clinically insane. So they, instead of, you know, being put in a
prison.
Prison, they would be at the hospital alongside the other patients there. So she, the public health hygienist that works there, her name, Kathy Langless, is phenomenal. Like, absolutely, I feel she was designed for that role. And she's like, so we wouldn't see a lot of the psychiatric patients that need like higher levels of care, just as students, but she would tell us stories of like what she dealt with. And there was a story that she told us where a patient came in and was saying, the voices in my head told me that you're here to hurt me today.
Oh my.
And then so Kathy sat down with her and was just like, I am here because I am meant to be a part of your story. If I do not fit into your story today, then that's okay. We will approach this on another day. And would just say, you know, like, I'm going to dismiss you. I'll like walk you back to your room. Like, today, I do not work into your story today, but we are meant to be through this together. But when you're ready, we will progress. And it was, she was so composed. She was such a perfect person for that role. And she told us kind of a heartbreaking, like opposite story where she had one patient who was, I don't remember her diagnosis, but she was a hard one in the chair unless you put on country music. Mm. She just loved country music. But other than that, she would not let you get near her. She would scream. She would yell. But if you put on country music, she was just at peace. So she would put on country music, would get through the appointment, no problem. The patient ended up getting discharged from the hospital and went to a community health center and was rejected from them. And they said, we will never see her. And she ended up somehow coming back to see Kathy. And so Kathy had talked to community center. All you had to do was put on country music. Like, it's just like, but they were like, she's unruly. We refused to see her, all this stuff. And she was such a voice for her patients there. And just the sweetest, most composed person. I feel it's so neat to see a person in a role that they were designed to be in, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's like the ultimate compliment. You know, like you fit this role. This is for you.
Yeah. Yes.
We didn't have anything like that. We did have a special needs clinic where we would see just patients with a variety of like physical and mental cognitive disabilities, and we provide them care. And one of the doctors there, Dr. Frey, amazing, just like such a good guy. I've done a lot of work with him with the Special Olympics, and he was doing a study with one of the schools. I'm not sure if I want to say it was a school of public health, but maybe not, where we would desynthesize patients. So it was adults with autism or intellectual disabilities, just really varied. They would come in for their visit into a room and we would watch them. So like we would see them on camera. We're like in a conference room. So hygiene students, me as faculty, dental students, school of public health students, and then Dr. Frey would be in the room with the patient. And so maybe that visit, we're just putting a napkin on their chest. It's not even like an actual bib, right? This time we're going to flash a flashlight, you know, and then just work them up after several visits to be able to hopefully then get them into the special needs clinics so that we wouldn't have to sedate them. But after each visit, we, like the group of us, this like collaborative group, we would discuss like what we saw and what worked and talk about other ways to like aid patients with intellectual disabilities.
That's cool. We didn't have that rotation, but that sounds like something that's
really
nice.
That's like stuff that will stick with you for your entire career. Yeah.
When we did that, we edited it as in like an adjunct, so students didn't have to do that rotation, but if they wanted to, and then we're very blessed to have like some students who like chose to just want to do that rotation. And also that was a good thing about being in a dental school, and not just a dental school, but being a dental school that was part of a university system. So there was like the School of Nursing, the school, the medical school, the School of Public Health. There was just so many like different schools, and there was opportunities to collaborate between the schools. Like you could be part of live research. I remember, I don't know if they still did it when you did in school, but they had the crawfish boil. Do you remember?
We had
a yearly like crawfish that boil where all the school students would come onto like one campus and we would have a crawfish boil.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I think I still have so that cool picture on my Instagram if you search back.
Yeah. Yeah, but opportunities to like get to know people. And it's funny, actually, one of the nurses who I met when I was in hygiene school, I went to a party for my husband's family and he was there.
Oh,
But I think it was nice to have like that collaboration, because then I ended up connected with some nursing students who then needed help getting like dental care, and then I was able to get them to like connect them to get in to get dental care for their patients. So yeah, I think that was really nice. I liked being in a dental school. So I know I hear a lot, like, I don't know if y'all got deducted points if you didn't have a patient.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So we got deducted points if you didn't have a patient, but if we found something else that was clinical, we wouldn't get points off. So if our patient canceled, but I found a dental student who had a patient, I could see their patient and I wouldn't get points off. So I would see like, would do like their recare for their patient or their radiographs for their patient or whatever it was. Like I could go and like see their patient. Or if I knew in advance that my patient was going to cancel, I could contact dental students and be like, hey, Blue Practice, I'm available this morning, this time. I can see your patient for their recare appointment, because dental students were required to do their recare for their patients.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't, it would like an additional, it was like an additional resource. And then also kind of nice to like get to work with future dentists and dental students to like.
That was cool. See what it was like. Our whole program, I didn't see a dentist once. Like I don't.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was just kind of, so then when I got out into the real world, I actually, full disclosure, I didn't know that dentists knew how to do a prophy until 2 years ago. When I first graduated, my first job, I was like, this is awesome. This chick has no idea what I'm doing. Like if I like accidentally miss anything, like she's not going to know.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because then because we work alongside the dental students, I think it was like one course where they learned about hygiene instruments. And yeah, the hygiene students were brought in to help proctor that class.
Oh, cool. It's like a collaboration.
So there's two classes. One was the faculty. We would teach them instruments and what those instruments meant. And then we had another one where like the hygiene students came in and helped us. My husband's school, though, he went to dental school. They had a dental hygienist. Her job was to check the scalings of the dental students. So that's she good. Was the one who would teach them.
Yeah.
And she was hard, apparently.
Well, I used to remember like this one dental student. She was asking me how to hold the instrument. So I told her, and she's like questioning me. And I'm like, if you're going to question me, then go ask the student. Like she kept like fighting against me. And I'm like, I've been doing this. Like, I know what I'm telling you. But if you want to question me, then go ask the teacher. Like, if you don't believe me, that's fine.
Yeah, sometimes I were definitely like, wouldn't take it seriously. Yes. Like,
and then so the just teacher, like
there's one thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, no. No. Well, sometimes they like, I actually really enjoyed being with the dental students, teaching them, because they didn't know things like clock positions. And then I'd be like, no, like you sit here and then you sit here, and they'd be like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Or like, because like, I would say like, do you know your clock positions? She's like, yeah, kind of. I was like, well, this is how you memorize them. Like it's 8:11, 8:11, 8:11, 8:11. So like treating them like tricks, and they would be so appreciative, and I'd be like, dang, I know something.
Yeah, no, there's definitely like very nice dental students, but that one I was just like, oh, I remember. I remember that incident.
I will remember.
9 years later.
Did you have pediatric rotations?
We did. We saw, so we did some in the schools. So we would go in, there was a high school one that we'd actually go to where we were like a traveling hygienist, you know, we'd bring in all of our dental equipment, like the chair and everything. Like we would bring that stuff in and call people down for prophys. There's a couple schools that actually have a dental clinic adjunct next to like the nurse's room.
Okay.
So those schools, usually inner city schools, would have that, and it would just be like a straight up dental clinic with like x-rays and everything.
Yeah.
Were there. So we did that, and we'd call down students and during classes for prophys and sealants and fluoride. So that was cool. But we did one that was at the children's hospital that we would see children that had like rare conditions. It was really neat. So we'd work with the hygienists that worked there, and we would get the patient's diagnoses like the day before. So we would be able to research.
Oh, okay.
Like they were like, rare conditions. And I just remember one time there was a patient who I saw that was kind of spur of the moment. So I didn't get a chance to research her condition, but it was what's called Beckenwith syndrome.
Okay.
So it's BWS. And essentially what it is the child's tongue grows at an alarming rate, and it just continuously grows and grows and grows. And what ends up happening is it leaves the patient with a depressed midface. So they almost take on like a Down syndrome appearance.
Uh-huh.
And the tongue is just very long. A lot of times they'll have surgeries to try to correct it and reduce the tongue size. And I saw this girl, and she was just so sweet, and she didn't talk at all. But, you know, the entire time I was sitting there with her, and I was, you know, like, your hair is so pretty. And I was like, wow, I was like, it's so nice. And then I was telling her and explaining to her everything I was going to do. And I was, you know, telling her, I'm like, I want you to be my boss. If you're feeling any way and you want me to stop, you tell me. Like, you're the boss. You tell me when we're going to stop. Like, this is your appointment. Okay, you know, and I was talking to her. I wasn't really talking to the mom as much as I was talking to her. And we went through the entire appointment, and it was so nice. And I really didn't think anything of it. And at the end, the mom was tearing up. And I asked her, I was like, okay. I'm like, well, do you think, is she okay? Like, I was so confused, like, why she was crying. And she was like, you're the first clinician to ever talk to her. Mm-hmm. A lot of the doctors she sees, everyone thinks that she can't understand them because she looks like she has Down syndrome, that she can't talk back or that she can't comprehend, that she's cognitively with there. Her condition, she's 100% there. She's shy because of her self-esteem.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really talk, but she can hear, process everything 100%. And I was just like, wow, like that, to have that experience in hygiene school, which, like you were saying, like, is an experience I'm not traditionally going to get in the real world.
Yeah.
So to be able to have that, and as a student, I definitely feel like, what's that saying they say on social media? Like this altered
core moment.
Yeah. Like a core moment, like this, like, or like this altered my brain chemistry. Like, I think that like definitely was one of those moments for me. Just never presume you know something about a patient. Yeah. You know, you never know what they're experiencing or going through. But that's
beautiful.
An eye-opening experience that I really enjoyed having in hygiene school.
I love that. That's a great story. I think definitely, you know, in hygiene school, with these experiences, we end up taking something out afterwards, you know? And then if you're in hygiene school now, just be in the moment with these patients. Mm-hmm. You know, not, they're not a number, you're not a student, you're actually a clinic, you're providing care for them, you know, and to treat it as such.
I think that's so true, though, because I feel like a lot of times we're not in the moment because we're stressed about our next test or the next thing that we have to do or assignments or whatever. And we're not focusing on like the beauty of like what we're getting, we're the blessing to be in a program in dental hygiene school, right? Like living for those moments and living for those patients because they are people too. Any other cool experiences? We did a dental van.
We did nurse. Yeah, we did nursing homes.
We added
nursing
homes.
How was your experience with that?
I didn't do a nursing home. We added it when I was a faculty member. We added the nursing homes. I did the same as Angela. We did like a project in a nursing home. But my memory is so vague. Like I that would have been 11, 12 years ago for me.
That project was the worst.
Really hard to get into the nursing home. Like the process of getting into the nursing home was hard.
So my partner and I, we found a nursing home, and that wasn't an issue getting in, but it was so hard to talk to the staff there and get them to understand what we're doing, because I guess I can understand from their viewpoint that they're like, they're trying to get their work done. They're not wanting to deal with the students or dealing with someone coming in with a project.
So we had a faculty member who went to the nursing homes with the students, Dr. Margot.
So there wasn't an on-site hygienist or dentist there. The nursing homes we went to, someone that was working at the nursing home already as a hygienist. So we kind of shadowed and partnered with them.
No. The nursing, like we chose the nursing home.
Ours was our faculty.
Interesting. Okay.
So faculty, like
so
a faculty
wasn't
person,
a program
designated
already
person
running within the nursing home for hygiene.
No.
Wow, okay. No. Ours was like a project to implement a program into a home, and so that's what we did. And because usually, if they don't have a dentist, or I think a dentist would come every now and then, but the daily work, it would be like the OT or the PT that would help them brush. And so then it was, or a staff member. So it was like having to teach them that. It was definitely like eye opening and seeing the need for it, but it was just hard and feeling the resistance from the facility.
Our nursing home that we went to, there was a public health hygienist working there that would call down patients as needed. Like it was kind of similar to the prison. Like they had like just a list of who needed cleanings and they just would go grab them from their room. Obviously just less security. The nursing home rotation is actually the first place I ever realized that you could scale on someone that's sleeping. Kind of like fall asleep while you were there, you know, and as long as they were snoring, like it was just kind of.
We have a friend, Carly. She calls it her denture adventure because she is a dental hygienist who works in nursing homes. So she works for a company that the nursing home pays them to go into the nursing homes and like provide care to the residents.
That's
there.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's nice. Uh-huh. If you're passionate about it, it's nice. We had two separate, we had one, she was very passionate about the patients. Another nursing home we went to, it was a male hygienist and you could tell he just wasn't in it for the right reason. It was just a different vibe. You know, you can feel someone's vibe. It wasn't a right vibe. But it's funny you say that, because I had a hygienist I used to work with up in Connecticut. She was a CNA before, and she worked in a nursing home, and her favorite thing was to clean dentures. And that's how she discovered she would love hygiene. So she actually ended up, she was in college that's working cool. as a CNA, and everyone would have her do the dentures because she loved cleaning them. And then they were like, you know, you should do this as a living. And then she was like, huh, because they offer dental hygiene at her university. So then she applied to the program.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I loved learning about Amy's experience and all the cool rotations she had.
And looking back, now we always have this in our time capsule memory of what we did in school.
But I'd like to hear from listeners if you have like a unique dental hygiene experience. I'd love to learn about it. It's always nice to hear how different programs do different things. Yeah. And if you're in the midst of it, we send you all the best vibes. We promise it'll be worth it. All right. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcasts.